We read the entire chapter this morning, so we won't go back and read through the entire chapter, but I want to look at five things tonight, and some of them we've touched on maybe different ways, but we've been looking at the thought, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And tonight we're looking at that thought as far as the juniper tree. God's man is found under the juniper tree. He's on Mount Carmel in chapter number 18. A great victory has taken place and over the prophets of Baal and for the Lord. And now he's running. He's running for his life, the Bible said, from Jezebel. And, I think it was Solomon, wasn't it, in the book of Proverbs that said it's better to dwell on the corner of the, is it rooftop or housetop, than it is in the house with a brawling woman. Amen. I think that's what the way it was worded. It's there. Don't look at me like that. I promise you. It's in the Bible. It's there. Amen. And so Jezebel's hunting Elijah down, and he's running for his life. He finds himself under this juniper tree here. And I want to look at some things tonight, if the Lord will help us for just a few minutes, and try to wrap this up tonight. The Bible said in verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And I found out in my studies that was, they called it a broom tree. It would remind you of the petals or the way that it blossomed out. Would remind you of something that you would sweep the floor with. And it provided a lot of shade. And so he sat down under the juniper tree here, and the angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you for our people. I pray tonight, Lord, your blessings now upon the message and the messenger and the hearers tonight, that, Lord, we might receive encouragement, knowing, Lord, that the Lord God of Elijah did not just only care for his prophet, but he cares for his people. And I thank you, Father, tonight for the blessing of knowing that no one ever cared for us like Jesus. I pray tonight, Father, you'd bless us together in Jesus' precious name, and amen, and amen. I was thinking the first thing I want to touch on tonight in the message is Elijah's course. There was a course that God had planned out for Elijah. And let me say this to you tonight. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but I believe chapter 19 is just as much a part of the course for Elijah's life as chapter 18 is. I do not believe what some of these TV evangelists will tell you, that life is all mountaintop. I believe there's some valleys. I believe there's some deep valleys. I believe there's some dark times. David, the Word of God said, was a man after God's own heart. And you read the Psalms and they're sweet. You want to know why? We can relate to them. We know, beloved, about sometimes how we feel like we're boxed in a cave, and we feel like sometimes David said, "Is there no man cared for my soul?" You remember that over there in Psalm 142? And there's a course in Elijah's life. And the Bible said here, by tomorrow about this time, there was an urgency in that course. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Elijah's not fooling around. Beloved, I believe this. If we truly believe that Jesus is coming, we're not fooling around either. Amen. Time is swiftly running out. And the Bible tells us to redeem the time. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart, we need to realize that God has a course for our life. I didn't mean to say anything about this, but I can't help it. I prayed earnestly that God would let Brother Brian keep his leg. How many prayed like that? Brother Brian, did you pray like that? If it could be in God's will, let me keep my leg. I don't understand what God's got in mind for Brother Brian, but I do know God has a course in mind for him, just like he did for Elijah, just like he does for me, and just like he does for you. I don't understand sometimes, beloved, but listen, I don't have to understand to trust. Amen. I can trust the Lord when I cannot track the Lord. When I do not know what he's up to, I can still know that he's up to good in my life. I believe that was the secret in Joseph's life. When Joseph was in the pit, when Joseph was in the palace, when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, when Joseph was in the prison, it didn't matter where he was. He knew that, listen, there's somebody above all this that's looking over my life and has my good in mind and at heart. Elijah had a course. The second thing I want you to see is Elijah's care. Let's look at it here together. And the last part of verse number 3, there's just a couple of things I want you to see. You see, the Word of God talks about casting all of our care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen? And Elijah has some care here. The last part of verse number 3, the Bible said he left his servant there. In the first part, it said he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Now let me just say this to you tonight. If all I had was one servant, I believe I'd want him to go with me, Brother Gristle. But in Elijah's care, there's a time of isolation. Elijah wanted to be by himself. Amen. And I believe, listen, you and I have probably come to some places like that too, where we didn't even want to speak to our wife about it. We just were so burdened and so broken that there was a time of isolation. And then there was a time of desperation. The Word of God said here, he requested for himself that he might die. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's good to have Jesus nearby when you get desperate. It's good to have Jesus nearby when you're isolated, amen, from those around you. I thought about that time of desperation, and we mentioned this morning Charles Spurgeon. They said frequently during his ministry he was plunged into severe depression. Arnold Dallimore wrote this. He said, what he suffered in those times of darkness, we may not know. Even his desperate calling on God brought no relief. There are dungeons, he said, beneath the castles of despair. Think about what was said right there. There are dungeons even lower underneath the castle of despair. And I believe Elijah finds himself here in that place in a time of desperation. But then it's not only a time of isolation and desperation, but I see in verse number 4, it's a time of contemplation. You say, preacher, what's he doing? He's thinking about some things. He said, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I wonder how many in the modern day church realize what the early church went through. And beloved, what the blood, listen, I'm not talking about the blood of Jesus now that was shed on the cross, but the blood that's been shed down through the ages so you and I can have this book in our lap tonight, so that you and I can have the freedom in America to stand and preach the Word of God, stand against sin, amen, and stand up for the Savior tonight. It costs something, amen, that we could have this freedom tonight. We see Elijah's care. It was a time of contemplation. He said, I'm not better than my fathers. It's enough. Just take away my life. Amen. I'm not better than my father. Now listen, if that was the end of the story, it'd be a sad end. But listen tonight, there's several things. Elijah's course, Elijah's care. I want you to look at Elijah's cure. Beloved, there is a cure for juniperitis. Amen. There is a cure for juniperitis. There is a cure. You say, preacher, what is it? Let me give you this. Number one, the Savior's presence. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. If you've ever been down, listen to me, and the Savior shows up, you're fixing to get up. How many knows what I just said? Amen. Oh, I tell you, beloved, listen to me. I tried this morning under the leadership of the Spirit of God to describe the suffering of the Lord Jesus.
And there have been times in my ministry, two times that I can remember, that, beloved, I had the towel out. I was ready to throw it in the boxing match. What that means is my man's getting killed, and listen, he's getting pulverized, and we give up. Amen. That's what it means. Two times in my ministry that God has given me, I had the towel out, was ready to throw it out in the ring, ready to go to the house, ready to quit. You say, preacher, what'd you do? I tell you, the first time around, the Spirit of God led me, and I went with Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane to Calvary, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, in the book of Luke. Honey, I wasn't even in the book of John. I done had my towel wadded up, stuck it back in my pocket. I said, praise God. He went all the way, and with the help of God, I'm going to get. You say, preacher, what was the cure? I tell you, the Savior's presence. He showed up in my life, and he cured what was ailing me. Amen. You say, preacher, what'd you do the second time? Well, I'm just a country boy, Brother Richard. I figured if it works once, it'll work again. And I just went back and went with Jesus again from Gethsemane to Calvary. And, beloved, what a blessing it is to still be in the race, because the Savior showed up in time in my life. The Savior's presence, that'll cure you. The Savior's provision. Look what it said in verse number six. Well, his presence in verse 5, he slept under a juniper tree. Behold, the angel of the Lord touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I will say this tonight. Told you this morning, I'm not sure. I can't be dogmatic about it. Many times in the Old Testament, when the Bible says the angel of the Lord, it's a theophanies. It's talking about the pre-incarnate Christ that's showing up. I'm not sure here. I've studied it out. I can't find anybody that really knows for sure. But I know this. If it's the angel of the Lord and it's not the Lord Jesus himself, guess who sent him? Say amen. I'm telling you, it was God that looked over and said, right over yonder is one of my youngins under that juniper tree. He's fixing to quit, and it ain't quitting time. Hallelujah, Jeremiah wanted to quit, but there was a problem. It wasn't quitting time. I believe a lot of God's people in this generation are quitting, and it ain't quitting time. It's time to serve the Lord. Amen. And beloved, his presence will cure. The second thing is his provision. Look at verse number 6. The Savior's provision. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. Now, let me ask you something. You believe anybody had to beg Elijah to eat? I told you this morning, he done run 100 miles. He done come down off that mountain, honey. I'm going to tell you something right now. You just let me walk a mile, and I'll eat something if you put it out there for me. He done run 100 miles. And beloved, when he saw that food, Brother Ralph, it was a welcome sight. Amen. I tell you, I believe maybe something began to stir down in Elijah's heart. He began to remember those ravens. He began to remember how God had sent him food down by the brook. He said, that's bound to be the hand of my God that's providing for me one more time. He's wore out. He's wore slap out. That's a dangerous time in your life. By the way, you go north of the Mason-Dixon and say that, and they don't know what you're talking about. But down here, we know what it is to be wore slap out. Say amen. Daddy said the only thing bad about resting or doing nothing, you can't quit and rest. Amen. Elijah's wore out. Look what the Bible said here. Not only the Savior's presence is going to cure him, the Savior's provision is going to cure him. Well, I thank God for this. I want you to see the Savior's persistence. Honey, he'll stay after his youngins. Notice what the Bible said here in verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad, thank God, that my Savior's in the Again ministry. I'm glad, thank God, that he'll stay after us. I'm glad he don't give up very easily. I'm glad he's long-suffering. I'm glad he'll touch us once. But I'm glad, thank the Lord, he'll touch us again when we need that touch of God. Amen. He's persistent. The Word of God is telling us here, beloved, he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. That must have been a couple of good meals, amen, that come from the Lord. The symbolism of this broom tree is renewal. when renewal comes, there'll be a restoration of vigor and a new freshness. I'll tell you, I was driving down Carter's Valley Road one day, and I tell you something. Y'all have heard that saying, drier than last year's bird's nest. How many's ever heard that saying? That's the way I felt. I was going down Carter's Valley Road. I mean, listen, I've never seen one of these signs before. I'm just being honest with you. Never seen one. It's a big old sign, Brother Randy. It wasn't square. Well, it was square, but it's turned up diagonal like that right there. I said, Lord, I need something. I was so dry. I said, Lord, I need something. I was driving. You say, I don't talk to the Lord when I'm driving. I feel sorry for you. That's a good time to talk to him. Just don't close your eyes. Amen. Go ahead and talk to him. I said, God, I need something. I turned a corner there at Frisco Yard on Carter's Valley. And off to the side there, going out through Frisco Yard, there's a big sign. Said, fresh oil. I'm telling you what's the truth. Tears began to roll down my... Oh, there's a verse in the Bible that David said, anoint me with fresh oil. I said, God, that's what I need, is another touch from heaven. I need some fresh oil. The Savior's persistence. I'm glad he don't give up on us. Amen. Beloved, listen, we shouldn't give up on others. We ought to just keep praying for them. We ought to just keep working, amen, and keep doing what God wants us to do. Let's look at Elijah's cave. I'm almost done. There, here in verse number 9, the Bible said he came thither to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Let me give you just three things quickly about the cave that God let me see. It was a place to park. Now, let me tell you something right now. There's some people that do not agree with this, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Every once in a while, God's people need to park. Every once in a while, that's what the Bible means when it says be still. Be still. That's not reverse. That's not first gear, second gear, third gear. That's park. It was a place for Elijah to park. What happened when Elijah parked? The Bible said the word of the Lord came to him. I'm going to tell you something right now. People that aren't hearing from God probably are not parking when God wants them to park. Now listen, a man said this one time and I'll never forget it. He's not changing the word of God, but it's true. Listen, y'all remember when the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, what were the children of Israel to do? Brother Steve, when it moved, they were to move. When it stopped, what were they to do, Brother Steve? Go backwards or, nope, stop. Stop right there. At that pillar of fire by night, same way. When that pillar of fire moved, God said move. And when it stopped, stop. A man said this one time. He said, the steps as well as the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's truth in that. That's not changing the Bible. I'm just telling you, if God is ordering my steps, there's going to be some times when I'm just going to have to stop doing what I'm doing and listen to the voice of God. Beloved, I believe that. The cave was a place to park. Secondly, the cave was a place to ponder. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Watch this now. Verse number 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. Now, let me tell you something. Elijah's not lying there. You remember Ahab is the king. Beloved, they've turned their backs, the children of Israel, on the God of heaven, and they're following a false God. Now we know in the rest of the story, we'll get to it in a minute, that God has a remnant, but there's very few in the nation, 7,000, that have not bowed their knees to Baal. Most of them have gone after the way of Baal and the way of Ahab and the way of Jezebel. Most of them have gone that way. He's pondering these things, thinking about it. Beloved, I believe, listen, it would do God's people sometimes when we stop just to think about things. Let me give you something to think about. Think about where your loved one's headed without Jesus. I'm afraid we're living in a generation that's going so fast that we can't even stop a minute and think about where our loved ones are headed without Jesus. I'm telling you, listen, God is no respecter of person. Our loved ones die without God. They'll lift their eyes in the same region of the damned that the rich man lifted his eyes in. The devil wants us to keep going so fast that we don't stop to think about where people are headed without Jesus. Our friends, our loved ones, beloved, listen, they need the Lord. And I believe sometimes if we just stop and park and ponder, listen, I believe we're under attack in the world. We're under attack in this country. There's so much to occupy our mind, so much trying to drive a wedge between us and our Bible, between us and our God. And let me just go ahead and say this, between us! The devil doesn't want us to walk together in unity and harmony. He wants to drive a wedge anywhere that he can. I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to just stop and ponder. Think about his tricks. He's still up to the same old thing as he was all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And then it was a place to do something else. Listen to me carefully. It was a place to pout. Now, I know. I can see so many halos shining tonight that none of y'all ever pouted. Look what the Bible said here. He said, here, slain thy prophets with the sword. And he said, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Tell you what I heard a preacher say one time, and I liked it. He said, if you're going to have a pity party, he said, be sure to invite God, because he's the only one that'll have pity. Anybody hear what I just said? Beloved, God shows up in Elijah's life, and God does not condemn Elijah. In this cave, he encourages him. He lights a fire under him. Says, get out of this cave, boy. I ain't done with you yet. I got something else for you to do. I don't know about you, but I think as long as I'm breathing, that's the attitude I want to have. I may be laying in a hospital bed, but if I'm breathing, have enough sense to say something to somebody, I hope I can tell them God is good. I hope I can tell them that Jesus is the answer. I hope I can tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I hope I can brag on my wife. I hope I can brag on my children. I hope I can brag on my church. I hope I can brag on my Savior as long as I've got breath in my body. Beloved friend, we see Elijah's cave. The last thing I want you to see in the message is Elijah's commission. Look at it with me tonight. The Bible said, listen to what the word that came to him in the cave. He said, go forth. Now, wait a minute. It's all right to park in the cave, but it's not all right to stay in the cave. How many heard what I just said? It's all right to pull in there and park, amen? But don't stay there. It's a dangerous place to stay too long, amen? He said, go forth. There's a commission. Stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. You say, preacher, what is the commission? Number one, it's commission to heed. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. I don't know how you received what I said a while ago about taking some of the cards, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You're born again, you've been commissioned. You take that up with the God of heaven, honey. The Bible tells us, beloved, that are saved to be baptized and to go forth teaching others that they might be disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many knows that? Read Matthew 28. It's right there. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe we ought to just be thankful that God has given us the tools. Amen. That, listen, the internet can be used for wrong. It can be used for wickedness. The television can be used for wrong. It can be used for wickedness. The telephone, help me, can be used for wickedness. But it can also be used for God's glory. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. When you look around, you see somebody that ain't been in church a week or two, I tell you what, it'd be a blessing if you just let them know you miss them. Help me tonight, church. Oh, you say, preacher, that's your job. You're missing it if you think that's right. That is part of my job. But it's not my job alone. There's people that will get in that cave. They're going to have a word from heaven. And sometimes God will use his people. It's a commission to heed. Number two, it's a commission to hear. We told you this morning about the earthquake and the still small voice. This is the commission to hear. The Bible said in verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou here, Elijah? You know what I believe God's doing in saying this twice? He's saying, boy, I've done told you once. It's time. Get out of here. There's a commission. I've got something for you to do. Let me say this to you tonight. I thank God for everybody that comes to Sunday school. So does Brother Brian. So does Brother Steve. All the other Sunday school teachers that teach the youngins. You thank God, Sister Jane, for the little ones that come and hear the word of God. And Brother Aaron, for those that come over here and hear the word. We thank God for that. But let me tell you something right now. From the children to the teenagers to the adults, from this pulpit, from your Sunday school class, is not all the word of God you should be hearing in a week. God will speak to your heart. Jesse, I told you to start reading in the book of John because God wants to speak to your heart just like he does to preachers' heart. This is not a Catholic church where the only one that hears from God's the Pope. Help me. How many believes, beloved, we all have an intercessor? One man between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. One mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. What a blessing. A commission to heed, a commission to hear. But watch this now. It's a commission to help. Let me give you this tonight. Every one of us knows somebody needs help. Now, sometimes when we're talking about help, the first thing people think about is dollars and cents. I'm going to tell you something right now. There are people that need that kind of help. There are people that need other kinds of help. There are people in Bloomingdale tonight that just need to know somebody cares. That just need to know that they'd be welcome in a church. The devil's done told a whole lot of people there ain't no way you'd be welcome anywhere in a church. I'm going to tell you something right now. If this is not a hospital where they can come and get what they need, then you tell me where they're going to go. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, you better watch out. No, I'm not going to watch out. Jesus didn't watch out. They criticized him. They said he goes down there and he eats with them publicans and them sinners. I say hallelujah. The church of the living God ought to be trying to reach publicans and sinners. Amen. They're the ones that need a physician. The Pharisees out there, they don't even know they're sick. Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Oh, I come not to call the righteous, Jesus said, but sinners to repentance. Think about this commission to help, and I'm done. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. You see, there was a commission to go help. Anoint this man king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Ahab's days are numbered, ain't they? And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, that's a hard one for me, Abimelech, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it's come to pass, him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Brother Brian, I don't know. I say you do remember this, unless it was between those surgeries, brother. But you remember me. I think you and Sister Kim told me about the tape that was in the CD with the song on it, Help is on the Way. You remember that? And they told me I could listen to it in the van going back and forth when we were down in Houston. And I remember I don't know if you'll recall, Brother Brown, but I was in Lowe's one morning. The men were working on something here at the church. They had a great old big sign, Brother Steve. And on that sign, it says, "Help is on the way." I remember taking a picture of it. Do you remember that, Brother Brian? I sent it to you. Help is on the way. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We're God's people. We know help is on the way. How many people's out there tonight that have no idea? They may take their life tonight because they don't know help is available. They don't know help is on the way. They don't think anybody cares. But God commissioned Elijah to get out there and help them. And God told Elijah, "I've got 7,000. I don't know about you, but I believe that what went on here in the Word of God, it was a blessing. Miss Eve, you remember Brother Leroy Demas Ellis. He and Jim Jones, not the Kool-Aid Jim, but this other man's name was Jim Jones. They were working on Dr. Garris's house, Brother Ralph. They had built the addition. I mean, they had done a fantastic job. They called down there, and Brother Steve, there was about 8 or 10 of us in class. Now, if you know me, you can only imagine what I would be willing to do to get out of class. We were in that missionary class, and they called and said, "Could you please send some of those men over here to help us?" They were exhausted. And the man, Brother Robert Keaton, he was up there teaching the class, and he said, "We may, in the morning, we may go over there." And it's about, I guess it's about 2 or 3 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon. We're supposed to stay to 5 or 5:30 in the class. Anyway, Brother Robert said, we may send some men over there in the morning. I raised my hand. I'm a good student. I said, "Brother Robert, I'd be willing to go right now if they need help." They've got some more volunteers. You know what we did? We went right now. We got over there. I'm glad we did. Brother Leroy told me later, he said, Brother Houston, he said, "I never been so glad to see a bunch of men in all my life." He was sitting under the shade tree. It wasn't a juniper tree. But I mean, he was exhausted. This man was already in his 60s and working like a 40-year-old man or a 35-year-old man, drenched with sweat. And we plywooded that thing and roofed it before dark. We didn't have enough shingles to put the cap on it. Had to go buy 2 bundles of shingles to finish capping the top of it the next morning, and it was done. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" How many knows there's people that needs help? Question, will you be God's hands? Will you be God's feet? Will you be God's helper to go like Elijah was? I'm telling you, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Somebody's probably asking that question tonight, not knowing that help is on the way. Let me give you this tonight, and I'm done. The Bible said here that he returned back from him. He took a yoke of oxen, verse 21, slew them, boiled their flesh, the entrance of the oxen. We talked about that this morning. Gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elijah was the giver of help, and now Elijah is going to be the receiver of help. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. The Word of God said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. How many remembers that in the Bible? I remember preaching a message one time. You listen to me carefully. Everybody needs to listen to me carefully right here. Listen to me carefully. The Bible said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's what the Bible said. But let me tell you something. It's blessed to receive. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Not a one of us that's saved by the grace of God tonight started out by giving. We had nothing to give. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Honey, we were flat broke. We were sinners condemned to hell. And we came to Jesus with nothing and left with everything. Let me give you this. You can't have a receiver without a giver. And you can't have a giver without a receiver. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's blessed to receive. Elijah got a blessing from giving, and Elijah got a blessing from receiving. And that's the way it works in the kingdom of God. How many believes that tonight? David Ushberger, he tells of General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He lost his eyesight. This story touched my heart. His son, Bromwell, you might say, was given the difficult task of telling his father that there would be no recovery. "Do you mean that I'm blind?" the general asked. His son said, "I hear that we must contemplate that." The father continued. He said, "I shall never see your face again?" His son said, "No, probably not in this world." General Booth then said, "I have done what I could for God and for his people with my eyes. Now I shall do what I can for God and his people without my eyes." I say hallelujah. That's the secret. Others. Years ago, the Salvation Army was holding a international convention, and their founder, General William Booth, could not attend because of physical weakness. He cabled his convention message to them. It was one word: others. Others, Lord. Let that my motto be. Help me, Lord, to live for others, that I may live for thee. I believe Elijah discovered that in the answer to the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He's wherever we need him to be. He's on the mountain. He's under the juniper tree. His eyes on self, and that'll lead us to the juniper tree. But when he got his eyes on the Savior, that'll lead you to others. It led him to Elisha. Aren't you glad tonight that God's what we need him to be, where we need him to be, when we need him to be? He's my all in all. He's everything you and I need tonight. The songwriter said, "All I need, all I need." Let's bow for prayer tonight. Thank you for coming this way. Thank you for praying. I believe with all of my heart tonight that there's a great, great blessing to be had from a little question: where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know, he's still working. He's still saving. He's still strengthening. He's still encouraging. Amen. He knows where we are tonight. He knows what we need tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand and preach the Word of God this evening. I pray you'd bless your people in a special way, Lord. Lord, there's a lot. Brother Richard said a while ago that I'd like to be able to do for others, and I'm not able. But Lord, I can talk to the one who's never hindered by time, never hindered by distance, never hindered by this supply. God, you have what we need. You know what we need even before we ask. Lord, you said to ask. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us go out of here this week and be your hands, be your eyes, be your feet. Lord, just use us. Use us, Lord, somehow for your glory. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name.